Ever since March of 2018, The Road to Rediscovery has always been about delivering quality content that is of value to you and your personal growth by featuring extraordinary guests with amazing stories of overcoming adversity. And here we are in 2023, still delivering quality content to you. But are you ready to take your listening experience to the next level? Subscribe to the Road to Rediscovery Podcast Premium on Supercast. Get access to exclusive content, special episodes, and limited edition gifts like a coffee mug, keychain, stylus pens, and more. The subscription starts at $5 monthly or $50 for the year. Just visit roadtorediscovery.supercast.com. That's road, the number two, rediscovery.supercast.com. And as always, thank you for your continued listenership and support.
Hey there, this is New York Times bestselling author and ridiculously happy wife, Laura Doyle. Buckle up, Aubrey's about to take you on another great episode of The Road to Rediscovery. Sit back and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, level it up and help others who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, you can get this show, The Road to Rediscovery, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you happen to listen on Apple Podcasts, we invite you to leave a rate and review. Otherwise, we still want your feedback and all your input by sending us a quick email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll give you a shout out in a future episode. We are always truly, truly grateful for your listenership. Okay, my special guest is a lifelong student of healing and personal growth. She is a Reiki master, spiritual coach, oracle reader, among many other things, and the host of her podcast, Raise the Vibe with Liz. Raise the Vibe with Liz. I love that name. She suffered the losses of grandparents, her biological father, and her mother, and shared her experiences in her book, Mom Died Last Night, My Shared Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Liz Peterman to the show. Liz, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate this time to come on here and discuss my book and grief with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. We're thrilled to have you here as well. So if we can just start off by helping us level set, okay? And I know this may sound cliche when it comes to death and how death affects people, but at least this is kind of like my observation, and I know it's very, very, very like in layman's terms, but I believe different people are affected by the death of a loved one in different ways. I mean, we're all different, but can the current mental state and circumstances play a part in how they respond to a loss?
Oh, interesting question, Aubrey. And we all do really experience grief in our own way. And I'm going to say, yes, of course. Our mental health and stability and where we are in our own experience of this life definitely would play a role. You know, we hear stories of, you know, twins who are out there and they have, you know, domestic issues with their parents growing up. You have one twin goes on to do personal development and growth work. And then the other one, you know, turns to drugs or alcohol, you know, to manage their pain. So yes, we do have, you know, kind of proof in the pudding, so to speak, that we all handle grief in different ways. And it really depends on where we are in our experience and how we relate to life, how we experience our grief and how we process it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And that's the operative word for me, at least. You just mentioned it, process. I was going to ask you a question regarding process. Again, may sound cliche, but to me, it holds true. A lot of people tend to, I don't want to say practice escapism or anything, but when there's a loss of a loved one or some sort of devastation, you know, some people think, well, you know, I need to remove myself from that environment and go somewhere, go to the beach, relax, you know, kind of decompress. And then, you know, others may say, well, you know, I think I'll tune it out for a while and just, you know, kind of focus on going out to clubs or bars or something and socialize with people. But that's not really the way to process through something like this, right? So we are in agreement that there is a process that must be followed when it comes to a loss or devastation, right?
Yeah, what you were saying, we all have our different coping mechanisms, right? And when mm-hmm. we go through something difficult, whether that be, you know, the loss of a loved one, a relationship, a job, lockdown, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Look yeah. how many people, you know, went out and, you know, they went to the liquor stores, liquor sales went yes. during lockdown because people didn't yes. know how to cope. This happens, you know, with any difficulty. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do have those coping mechanisms that step in, you know, with grief and loss. There's eating yeah. and turning to alcohol or watching TV nonstop or not taking care of ourselves. These things right. play a role. But what we really need to do is step into that process, right? In my book, I talk about how I was taking rest, how I took the time, you know, I had the luxury of time to be able to go through my healing process and be able to spend time with my grief and really check yes. in with my body. How yes. was my body feeling at the time? How was I feeling when I woke up that day? Mm-hmm. Was I ruminating? Was I able to take care of my needs? I remember right after my mother died that next day, I really had to track myself all day long to just take care of my basic needs. I fixed tea. I had to heat it up 3 times before I finally drank it. You know, I had my animals to take care of.
Yeah.
I was lucky. My children, I've shared custody of my children. My children were at their father's after I sent them there the previous mm-hmm. night. So they mm-hmm. were taken care of, but it was following like, did I nourish myself today? You know, what am I going to eat today? Make myself some tea, get some rest. Do I need to step outside of the house for a minute? There is a check-in that really needs to happen with ourselves when we're in trauma, when we've experienced this grief. And, you know, are there, you know, like should do this, should do that? No, I really feel like it's following what our body is telling us to do, what our natural inclinations are to do, whether that's get some rest, fix ourselves a nourishing bowl of soup like I did, you know, take a hot bath or something like that. Really follow, what does my body need? What do I need right now?
Yeah, and that's the intuition part that I believe I've read from your information, which I would love for us to unpack here in a little bit. And there is truly that sense of listening to that gut, to that intuition, to your body. It won't steer you wrong to guide you in the right place, because I think to your point, the temptation to self-medicate that usually takes the foreground for some people versus others. And I appreciate your transparency in sharing how you had to navigate. It's really interesting, you know, how just routine things that you have done on a daily basis before the loss, you know, that you didn't have to think of. It was subconscious. It was, you know, just involuntary. You would just do it, whether it's make your tea, drink it, you know, on the first time that it's ready, cook dinner, tie your shoes, maybe feed the dog, you know, who knows, just these routine things that are so routine, so second nature that you follow each day without being told or having to remind yourself during the process through the loss of a loved one. It's these simple things that we kind of have to remind ourselves of, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I really found myself in that state. When I lost my mother, I was numb. I was not present. I was not grounded. I was affected in a way that I did not expect to feel. You know, she had taken a fall about a year prior and her health was declining. So I knew at 85 years old that this was coming. But when it actually happened, I was not prepared. I felt uninformed. I felt like I didn't know how to handle the loss of my mother. It was way different than the house fire I had experienced or the divorce I had experienced.
Right, right.
So really checking in with myself and following that intuition. Can we really be prepared for the loss of a mother or a father? No, I don't really think so. When you're close with someone, that's something that's, you know, you think you're prepared for it, but you're not. Right. So I really did, like I discussed in my book, followed my intuition. I had a friend call me on the drive home and she says to me, "What's one thing you're going to do for yourself today?" And that really stuck with me throughout my, I'm going to say acute grieving process that I'm about first 3 months of grieving my mother. And that really did stick with me as a mantra. Like, what am I going to do for myself? You know, that I wouldn't think of doing for myself. You know, brush my teeth today or take a bath or step outside, go walk the dog instead of just letting her into the backyard or something like that. Make that nourishing bowl of soup. Or maybe I just need to check out of my grief just for a little bit, you know, turn on Netflix, sit there for an hour, watch a show, you know, and then come back to my grief. Maybe flip it from a comedy to something I know is going to make me cry, you know, so I get it out of my body so I can process.
Understood. No, understood. So those practices and methods you just went through there, Liz, I mean, are those some of the elements that that you're referring to when you say there's an importance of living an intuitive life?
Yes, yes. I talk about that in my course too, living an intuitive life, where it's really following that intuition. What is the gut feeling that you're getting about a situation or your process? What natural inclinations are being brought to you during your healing process? What thoughts are you having? You know, what, you know, we go through life and we have, you know, coincidences and synchronicities and ideas and stuff like that come into our life. Those aren't by accident. Those are coming into our life because those are things that we need to follow up on and do. It's like little God winks. It's those, you know, little things that come into our life where source, spirit, God is really supporting us and wanting to help us. So it's giving us these little things, giving these nudges to us, giving these ideas, having someone walk up to us and say just the perfect thing. And that is following our intuition. It's following those little breadcrumbs of life, I like to call them, to the next best thing for us.
So would you say the our intuition and picking up those breadcrumbs can be referred to or maybe thought of as, say, a muscle? In building the muscle, some people may not think they are as in tune with their intuition as others, and may not have even explored, you know, just focusing in inward on their intuition to guide them. So I'm thinking, you know, each time you practice a situation where you listen and follow your intuition, that's kind of sharpening your tune with your intuition? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. We're not taught, unfortunately, to trust our gut or trust our intuition or pay attention, right? So I like to say, like, setting an intention in life to pay attention to what's going on really jumpstarts us into listening to our intuition. Then after that, we just have to learn to trust it. I spent years trying to learn how to trust my intuition, right? And would always have like that thought 3 seconds before something would happen and I wouldn't do what that thought was. And I'd kick myself in the butt. And, you know, we all do it, right? We all have that thought. And like, oh, if I had just done that, right? And it's like trusting it. Okay, when the thought comes in, do it. Follow through. You know, still to this day, occasionally I'll, you know, a thought will pop in and I won't do it. I'm like, there it is. Mm-hmm, That, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda moment where if I had trusted myself and trusted my intuition, then maybe I, you know, wouldn't have tripped over that or, you know, had this or that happen. Right. So it's just learning how to trust ourselves. Set that intention that you're going to start paying attention and then follow through on everything that comes in. And there we go.
I tell you, really involving the elements of self-awareness and mindfulness with the insights that you've shared of how someone can become more in tune with their intuition. And another key element that you mentioned, right, is trusting it, right? To me, that is huge as well, to trust it, because there's a lot of cases in life. And this is a segue to another topic I'd love to unpack with you, Liz. You have the physical realm and you have the spiritual realm, at least in my way of thinking. Okay. And so, you know, in the physical realm, there may be an event that kind of reveals itself from a societal standpoint, that the right thing to do is ABC. But your intuition is telling you the right thing to do is XYZ, you know, and so it's that level of trust that hopefully compels us to follow our intuition and go XYZ, despite what the physical realm is showing us in whatever that event may be. Do you have any thoughts on that, or is that something that you were speaking to when you say trust your intuition?
Yeah, so often we're taught by society that we need to follow the rules, right? That we need to do A, B, and C to get to X, Y, and Z. But sometimes spirit can show us a different road, a different path. And it's being able to have that trust and faith in ourselves to actually do that, to go against the status quo or whatever needs to happen, right? To take the steps that are right for us. And spirit's never going to steer us wrong. Spirit's never going to tell us to do something that's harmful to us or to someone or to something. It's always going to be positive and affirming to our lives and be lifting us up. So yes, have faith in yourself when, you know, people are saying, do this, this is the way. And then you get a different idea. Follow that idea that you have, because that's going to open the door. And then sometimes I even say, if you get, you know, you've opened the door and you're doing these things, if you end up having that door closed, it's not a waste of time. You needed to learn what you needed to learn through that door to be able to get to the next step in life. So yes.
Yeah. No, that makes, I agree 100%. And that makes all kinds of sense. It really does. Now, Liz, I want to kind of transition into the spiritual communications with loss of loved ones after they have passed and so forth. And I'm speaking from a totally unknowledgeable space, okay, when it comes to this. Just from what I've seen, oh my goodness, on TV shows, let's say there's a medium, okay? And I don't know. I mean, and it's just television, and I don't, you know, I tell you with a grain of salt, but I've always heard mediums have this special gift, you know, in connecting with the spiritual realm, and not only, you know, within their family and dearly departed lost loved ones, but others as well, certain way that they channel in and so forth. My question to you is, you know, do us as ordinary people, people who may not have this gift, do we have the ability to communicate, you know, and feel the spirit of our past loved ones?
I'm going to say yes, especially right now, because I really think consciousness is opening up right now. We're going through a shift where a lot of old paradigms are kind of going by the wayside. And thank goodness everything is opening up and people are becoming more open-minded. And things that are talked about now were not talked about when I was in high school in the late 80s, right? You know, when someone was like me, a seer, a seeker, you know, psychic, You know, they had to really search it out. They had to search out spiritual teachers. They had to search out books. Now it's at our fingertips, you know, and everybody's talking about it, you know, hence all of the buzzwords that you brought into our wonderful conversation today about mindfulness and all of the other things, you know, that we can access these days. Now, there's a rule around being psychic and being a medium. And I've heard oftentimes, I say it myself, all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. Okay. There's a difference between knowing information and being able to channel in information from our dearly departed. Does that make sense? So, like I could be sitting with you and using my psychic abilities and maybe pulling up, this is what's happening in your life. This is what I see possibly that's going on right now. This is how you could handle this situation. You know, I see this person. And then if the mediumship part kicks in, then you'd be like, oh, I see someone is standing off to your right shoulder. You know, they have their hand on your shoulder. Okay. This is feeling like a male, feeling like father or grandfather. And then that starts happening. It's this, for me, a raising of my frequency or energy level, as you would in meditation, where you expand above and beyond yourself. And then what happens is source spirit kind of lowers itself down and blends with you. It's a blending of energy, blending of my energy field, and then a blending of spirit's field with me. And then I can access that information at times.
Wow. That is absolutely tremendous, because I'm just thinking of how beautiful that experience would be. But for, let's say, a novice, you know, how do you contain that? How do you harness that? How do you embrace it to where, you know, you it could be of value, it could be of use, you know. Some people may be afraid of what that experience is when, you know, they broaden in deep meditation, and then, you know, the spiritual realm comes down and connects and blends and so forth. Is it difficult to harness and control, or
no? I'm gonna say no. Spirit has our back. They really want to support us. I talk about in my book, after my mother died, I looked around and realized that spirit had put things in my life for me in that moment before my mother passed away that helped me during my grief process. So it very much can help us in our lives. 100%. Don't feel it. If anybody wants to start testing out to see if they can hone their intuition a little bit more, maybe, you know, learn more about their psychic abilities, a great place to start is meditation. Yes. We need to get quiet. We need to get grounded, come into our body, get mindful so we can follow and learn how we work in the world. Like, I see pictures. If one of our listeners gets information through little mini movies or little pictures that flash in their mind, that's clairvoyance, the ability to clearly see. And that is information that's being gifted to us. It very much is information that helps us in all aspects of our lives, not just being able to communicate with the spirit realm, which is also a benefit. Because we have angels and guides and ancestors over on the other side just waiting for us to ask for help so they can help us out. And, you know, our ancestors, my mom helps me all the time. She often sends signs when I'm doing these interviews, right? Because she wants to be a part of it, you know, just like she was a part of it before she passed away, as I talk about in my book. They want to be here. They want us to succeed. They want us to thrive. You could be in prison and still have spirit source wanting to lift you up and help you become a better person. They want us to succeed in our lives.
Gotcha, for sure. And one thing you mentioned there, Liz, how your mother comes through in so many different ways, you know, on a day-to-day basis, that just gets you through some pretty challenging times. I love that, because I want to, we're in lockstep. I'm really enjoying this conversation because it's very relative to my next question. I know I keep saying that, but it truly is. I wanted to know, do strong connections and commonality that you have with a loved one in life, okay, prior to their passing, it could be a phrase, it could be an object, or it could be a certain event. Does that indicate a connection with them or the potential for a connection with them in their afterlife?
I'm going to say yes. So my mother loved hummingbirds. Yeah. Loved hummingbirds. She would call me and tell me about the hummingbirds at the feeder. Mm-hmm. She had my sister changing the feeder for her when she came to take care of her.
Yeah.
Loved it. I told my mother before she died, Mom, I'm psychic. You know, I have this connection on the other side. Send me a sign after you pass away in the future. I didn't know it was going to be so soon. You can send me a sign and I'll know it's you. The next day, I'm sitting on the couch. The sun is shining in. I had just moved 2 weeks prior. I didn't have my hummingbird feeders up. Sun-drenched door in front of me, and something catches my eye. It is a hummingbird shadow on the door in front of me. And I look, there's a hummingbird right at the window. And I know in that moment, that is my mother's sign telling me that she's okay, she's at peace, and she's transitioned over to the other side. I have found feathers and pennies. I've woken up with song lyrics. She's been in my dreams, dream visitations.
Yes.
All sorts of things. You know, these little ways that our loved ones let us know that they're around from the other side. And it speaks to us. Like for her, it was the hummingbird. Mm-hmm. For you, it might be a blue jay or a cardinal or something like that. You know, it shows up how we see and relate to our loved ones.
Well, you just sent chills down my arm. I mean, Liz, it's funny you say that because my father passed away in 2006, and he was 61 years old. And my wife, she tells me, and she's told me ever since he passed, which from 2006, it'll be what, 17 years in November. She has told me that she's got a visit from him like a month after he passed in the form of a cardinal. And so ever since then, whenever a cardinal would come, the most vibrant red cardinal with the straight crest, and this cardinal that comes around doesn't just, you know, come and eat and pack and fly away. They're within almost within arm distance, just chirping, 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 as if they're talking to you, chirping, 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 this one particular cardinal. And she truly says, that's your father. And my dad was a talker anyway. So, and so when you mentioned, for me, it may be a form of a blue jay or a cardinal, that sent chills down my arm because the cardinal is an indication of my father, as my wife put it, ever since 2006. So I just want to say thank you for that reference. To me, it solidifies what I asked you. It solidifies your explanation and insights with that. So thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. That's beautiful. What a beautiful way for your dad to say hello to you all the time. I think that's amazing.
It certainly is, you know? And so I want to talk about now on the side of those, for lack of a better term, I'm going to say left behind, for those who are still here in the physical realm. Okay. I can't help but think when you talk about grieving and you talk about healing, I can't help but think that there is a difference. And I could be wrong, but I'm thinking, like, let's say in the scenario of someone with who's terminally ill, okay? And there's time during that terminal illness, get things arranged and papers and so forth. And again, I'm not saying that anyone's ready for when that time comes, but there's that time where doctor gives someone 6 months, get your papers in order, get family matters in order. As with my father, you know, I felt there were some things ever since boyhood that I wanted to straighten out with him. And I didn't want him going without that regret. And I would feel regret for not saying what I felt to him as an adult back when I was a child. And my wife said, you better tell him before it's too late. And so after I told him that, I felt healed, even though he wasn't passed yet. And then the time came when he passed, and then I'm grieving. You know, but I didn't feel like I needed healing at that time I was grieving, because I was able to express to him how I felt and what was on my chest for so many years as a boy. I was able to tell him as a grown man before he passed, and he was coherent. He listened and everything. And I know I'm traveling on here, but there is a question behind this. My question is there a difference between healing and grieving? What are your thoughts?
Well, first, Aubrey, I want to say thank you so much for sharing that story with your father. And what a blessing to be able to have that moment with your father before he passed. You know,
thank you.
What a gift. The difference between grieving and healing. The way that you described it, there was a difference for you.
Okay.
You know, because you were able to speak with your father, and you mm-hmm. were able to have those healing moments with your father before he passed on.
Right.
Before he died.
Right.
So oftentimes we're not, you know, able to have those last moments with our loved ones before they pass on. So we're searching to have those moments after. And I do want to say to our listeners that if you've had this experience, you can still have that conversation with your loved mm-hmm. one. You mm-hmm. can do an exercise where you sit a chair in front of you, or you just mm-hmm. sit and you invite your loved one in and have that conversation with them. They are still present and near. You do still have access to their higher self. You can bring them mm-hmm. in and have that conversation. I do also want to differentiate between the grieving and healing after in a different way, because while we're grieving, we're going through a process of healing that grief.
Yes. Yes.
We need to feel it. We need to experience it.
Yes.
We need to feel all the feels to heal the grief that we're carrying, so we don't end up carrying it throughout our entire lives. Right. And that is, it's a slow process. Grief has its own timeline. Like I said before, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. But society has set us up where we don't have that grieving time. We don't have that grieving process. We don't have that healing process. Everybody wants us to get over it, get back to work, get back to life.
Yeah.
Because life does go on. After my house fire, I realized, wow, I'm here grieving and trying to clean up this mess. Mm-hmm. And life is going on without me. Is life still going to be there when I'm done? Yes, 100%. Right. I can step right into it.
Right.
I can allow myself to have this time to like grieve the loss of the house, the belongings, the pet.
Right. Right?
So giving ourselves that time, really earmarking time for ourselves. Okay, today I have to do this. I have to go to work for 5 hours, mm-hmm. but I'm going to come home and I'm going to walk the dogs because I know that will be good for me, you know, in my grieving process. Just earmarking time for ourselves to take that time, because, and it does get easier as time goes on. It does get easier, and it becomes like, I like to say I'm holding grief's hand, and it pops up every now and then with a memory or a birthday or an anniversary or something like that. But it's not as impactful now that it's been a year and 9 months since my mother died. It's gotten easier. You know, I'm not moved to tears as easily. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes. Still, I am still moved to tears. But usually it's like I have the memory, and then I have the joy that follows, the love that follows that I got to experience with them. So that's the healing. You know, I really wanted to point out both sides.
No, that totally makes sense, Liz. And for what it's worth, I also wanted to mention that, you know, I try to make myself have as open a mind as possible in all kinds of things. And I truly believe that grieving is healing to some degree, as well. So they could be the same and they could be different. And you clearly articulated how they could be each. And so I want to thank you for that. And now I'm going to throw in another element. And I want you to let me know your thoughts on this, okay? It may be synonymous with the other elements we talked about, or it may not be. But here it goes. And you hear this a lot when it comes to, unfortunately, families who has lost a loved one as a result of a crime or a murder. Okay. And I'm sure you probably know where I'm going with this term. We talked about grief. We talked about healing. And now the term I wanted to share with you is closure. Where does closure fit in this? And we don't have to use the example of someone passed from a murder or anything, but in say your circumstances, you know, where does closure fit in? What defines closure in your experience?
Good question. I can sort of highlight that experience if someone did lose somebody through mm-hmm. tragic circumstances, such as a murder. That would be complex grief. You know, mm-hmm. that can happen in a marriage. If you have infidelity in the marriage, it's complex grief. It's mm-hmm. a multi-layered experience. Mm-hmm. Finding mm-hmm. that closure is really difficult in those sort of experiences because you really need to seek forgiveness around the situation and then the closure, the resolution around the passing of your loved one, that loss. It's mm-hmm. almost like holding 2 to 3 different things at the same time. With my experience with my mother, I did have a little PTSD around, you know, my mother being sent home from the emergency room when she shouldn't have and yeah. me having to take her back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what that experience was when the attending nurse wasn't available when I got there or they rushed me out of the hospital. And I did have a lot of emotions around my experience in the hospital. And yeah. I talked about in my book how I really need to process that anger around what happened in the hospital. And I think being able to process our emotions, going through some anger release exercises or something like that to help mm-hmm. us move past, you know, that anger that can be present at a death of a loved one's occurrence.
Yeah.
Gets us to closure. Then we can find resolution in what happened.
I see. I understand. I understand. Then we can find closure. Awesome. Awesome. I think I may have asked you this before, but I'm going to throw this out here. I'm not sure what order, you know, of your losses, like say maybe your grandparents and then the loss of your father, then the loss of your mother. Was there anything that you maybe discovered about yourself or maybe a revelation that you've had in, say, a previous loss that helped you with a current loss that you were going through?
I'm going to say yes. There were gifts.
Okay.
In all of them.
Yeah.
Having my grandparents die at such a young age, I was 5 or 6 at the time. Mm-hmm. And what that, looking back on that experience, taught me that we don't have these conversations around death. Yeah. We try to protect the children around death, but there's a lot of things that all of the family members, no matter how old they are, can learn from loss. You know,
yes.
we used to have, there was a time where we used to have our loved ones in the home so we could spend time with them before the burial. We don't do that anymore. We've completely removed ourselves from that experience.
Yeah.
And that helps our grieving process. It helps us to find that closure we were talking about. Mm-hmm. It helps us to say goodbye. That we surrender and let go when we were ready. And now everything is so fast paced. You're in the hospital or in hospital. And they come pick up your loved one. And then they do all the death preparations, all the bathing and dressing and cleaning and preparing for the funeral or cremation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have completely removed ourselves from that. And that can be a gift to ourselves, you know, when our loved one dies, to be able to do that, to be able to, you know, bring back in those things that we used to do in the past to help us find closure, to help us to say goodbye, you know?
I was just going to say that could be a significant part of the process as they are transitioning. I totally agree.
Right. I talked about earlier the house fire. Mm-hmm. That taught me that it's okay to do what I need to do? Did I recognize, you know, life goes, still goes on?
Yeah.
Yes. And when we have something that just stops us in our tracks, we're going to have that sensation that life continues on. And we have to be okay with that. You know, we have to go, okay, I'm seeing that life continues on. Here I am. I'm stunned right now. And in this particular moment in time, I'm going to do what I need to do. And it'll be there waiting for me when I get back. When my mother passed away, being able to communicate with her from the other side reaffirmed to me my ability. You know, was I doing it? Yes. Did I trust myself? Yes. Did I have faith in what I saw, what I heard, what I felt? Yes. But having that extra communication with my mom is like, yes, you know, where I'm like, yeah, that's crazy what I do. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yes, this is real. Like I am having these communications with my mother. You know, this is 100% real. It just like solidified it for me in the after, in mom's afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I love how you put that because you've had dreams of your mom. Your mom has come to your dreams, right? My father has come into my dreams. And, you know, like I said, my father was 61 when he passed away. But every time he came into my dreams, he was like 38, 39, around that age and so forth. How do you see your mom? Do you see your mom, you know, like, I don't know, maybe a year or two prior to her passing? Or do you see her like in another decade of age? Or how do you see her, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. Great question. She showed up in many different ways. After she first passed away, when I was driving to the ferry boat, I saw her younger. I saw her in like late 40s, early 50s, around the time where she was feeling really good about herself, you know, a little bit longer hair, darker. She showed up in a dream where she was just sitting there on the couch with her cane, and she did look 84, 85 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around, like in my dream going, oh, I'm sitting there, right? And then she showed up in a dream last week. You know, she's holding something in the dream and she's passing along the message, and she's a little bit younger. She's like in her 70s. Right. So she presents herself in different ways. And I think on the other side, when I know I'm doing mediumship, they either present themselves in their death process or the way that they liked to be seen. Or if we're just beginning the reading, it's either the death process or how the loved one remembers them is. And then they may show, okay, now they're presenting a little bit younger. They really enjoyed their life in their 30s or 40s. And this is what they're showing me. So yes, I've actually gotten different ways that mom has presented herself to me. It's really fascinating.
That is fascinating, you know, and it shows how they can reveal themselves in any way. And there's so many different elements involved in how you perceive them in any given dream, you know, in different ways or the same way in multiple dreams. So that's truly insightful, Liz. If you were to summarize everything in your book from your experience that you share to the readers, to the listeners, if you can sum up one takeaway, one main takeaway in a sentence for the readers, for the listeners, what would that sentence slash takeaway be?
One main takeaway. Good question, because I share grief and death process and afterlife communication, but I think the one takeaway, you are not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone in your grief process. Reach out if you need to.
Yeah.
You know, you're not alone in the death process. You know, there's support there if you need it. And we're not alone. Spirit is always with us. And if you've lost someone, know that they're there helping you, you know, in this life. They want to be there for you. They want to see us succeed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. They're there. We're not alone. okay. So Liz, how can the listeners connect with you, learn more about the great work you're doing, subscribe and listen to your podcast, and pick up a copy of your book?
Thank you so much, Aubrey. People can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Raise the Vibe with Liz. And also my website is raisethevibewithliz.com. You can find all about the work that I do, a link to my book, which is on Amazon, my courses, and much, much more. Thank you so much, Aubrey. I really appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. And we're going to have links to all of those in the episode show notes. Once again, the podcast is Raising the Vibe with Liz. Subscribe to it, download it, listen to it. And her book, Mom Died Last Night, My Shared Experience. I'm sure this is a very, very revealing book with lots of insights shared that Liz is opening up her experience to share for your benefit, for the listener's benefit, for the reader's benefit. In whatever devastations, especially devastations of a loss of a loved one that you may be going through or will be going through. Liz Peterson, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, truly appreciate it and would love for us to keep in touch to have you on the show at a future date.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. This has been a pleasure. We've been in sync the whole way and I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I felt we've been definitely in sync, in lockstep. So it just sends me chills just thinking about it. It was meant to be. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And as always, we want all of our listeners to know that when dealing with life struggles, you're never alone. And there's always, always hope. Please know this, and please share this show with someone you know who needs inspiration and support. We're all in this journey of life, and it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Please stay tuned for future episodes. Thanks again for listening, and we will chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.